Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Alexa, who is Adam Ferrara?
Adam Ferrara is an American actor and comedian known for playing the roles of Chief Needles Nelson on Rescue Me, Sergeant Frank Fiorelli opposite Edie Falco on Nurse Jackie. He was a co-host on the U.S. version of Top Gear. He has had 3 Comedy Central specials and his new album is called It's Scary in Here. Adam's new podcast is a big hit and available everywhere.
Sounds like it could be funny.
Sounds to me like 30 minutes you'll never get back.
Happy Mother's Day, you mother... Okay.
What?
I'm sorry, I got carried away. This is our Mother's Day show, and we got a great show for you. My guest in the ADD interview is the comedy legend and my pal, Louie Anderson.
Hey.
And we want to welcome everyone from our Talk to Me Tuesday family. That's our conversation we have every week, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Go to my website, click the link, and join us. And our superfan shout-out is for Louise. Louise, of course, is my mother.
Louise.
Louise. We love you, Louise.
Hello, Mama Ferrara.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. It's Mother's Day. And Louie actually played his mother, who was a mother to Zach Galifianakis on Baskets. So that's why I thought he would be great for Mother's Day.
Not only played it, became.
Won an Emmy for it.
Oh my gosh, Adam.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I know how much you love Louie.
You guys, I love Louie. And I didn't listen to the interview, but I had to pass Adam a note to make sure Louie knew how much I loved him.
Yeah. I was here doing the interview with Louie, and all of a sudden the door opens and it was like Thing coming in, just handing me a note. And yeah. There's a note that I actually showed Louie during the interview. It was just so much fun. He's so sweet.
I didn't want to butt in on your guys connecting, whatever, but I'm like, oh my gosh, this is my chance.
Yeah. You're adorable. Well, it's Mother's Day.
Yeah, and I want to take a moment just to wish my mom the happiest of Mother's Day.
Happiest Mother's Day, Mother Stern.
Thank you. Yeah, the same from Mama Tagliaferri.
Yes, we want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day. And while we have a moment, I want to call my mother, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right. Hi, Ma.
Hey, how's my favorite son?
Oh, I got that on record.
Don't tell your brothers.
I'm not. We're all here, and we all want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. I love you, Ma.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Happy Mother's Day, Mama Ferrara.
Thank you, Phil.
That was Mark, actually. He calls you Mama Ferrara like you want spaghetti sauce.
If he wants it, I'll make it.
I would love that.
Maybe I can send it to D.C.
Ma, I got Louie Anderson on the show today for our Mother's Day show.
Oh, I love him. I watch him every day on Funny You Should Ask.
Oh, okay.
It's a funny show. I love it. I love it. And he is funny, funny, funny.
Yeah, he's a good guy, too.
He's also very bright.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think he has a good heart and a wonderful ballroom dancer. There's a lot to Louie to love.
He's a ballroom dancer. Is that what you said?
I did.
Yeah. You're being facetious, Adam.
I am. I really had a good time talking with Ma. He told a gambling story. So it's Mother's Day, gambling story. I got to call my mother, tell her I love her.
Of course.
Do you remember?
All right, Ed.
Do you remember when you hit for the Mercedes?
I sure do. I didn't hit the Mercedes. They had a 5-star dinner, mm-hmm. okay? And I was a 5-star player. Mm-hmm. And they had a dinner, and they had a raffle.
Right.
So they gave me, I think there were 4 or 5 prizes. One was luggage. I didn't want that.
Right.
One was a sapphire ring. I didn't need that. One was a cruise. And I looked at your father, and he says, "Don't even go there, Luis. We're not going on a cruise." Because he never wanted a cruise because he was afraid he was going to get sick. Mm-hmm. And one was a Mercedes. So now we go into the dinner, and oh, God, what a dinner it was. And now they're pulling the prizes. And now I'm busy talking to Edie, and they call my name. Mm-hmm. I never heard my name because I'm busy, yada, yada, yada. Your father pokes me, "Louise, they called your name." I go, "Who called my name?" "Aren't you paying attention? You won the car." I go, "Yeah, right, Joe." Sure enough, I stand up. I'm all red. I'm like, I'm embarrassed. I think I won the car. I was shocked. The guy comes over to me and he says to me, "Well, you can have the car, blah, 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 blah." But it wasn't the big, big car.
No, it wasn't. Because when I spoke to my father, guys, I go, "Pop, why don't you keep the car?" He's like, "It's a C-class, and I got a big, fat American ass. I don't fit. I don't fit an entry-level German."
So the guy says to me, "Well, do you want the car?" And I said to him, "Look," I says, "I can't get over I won this." Mm-hmm. I said, "Can I have time to digest this win?" Mm-hmm. He said, "Sure." He said, "Come to the credit department tomorrow," because we were staying overnight. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I saw the guy and I said to him, "You know, I decided to take the cash."
Good for you.
So I said, "Can I have a check?" "Oh, we can't give you a check now." I go, "What?"
Yeah, they do the dance.
"No, you have to come back."
Yeah, they want you to come back.
They were shrewd. Yeah, because they want you to gamble more. Mm-hmm. So I had my horns twisted, and we stayed, and then we went home, and I was like, "Joe, I can't believe what they did, blah, 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 blah." "Just don't worry about it. We'll go down again." I go, "Joe, they want us to go down because they want us to spend money." Now, your father loved it. I mean, I like gambling, but your father loved it. Like, mm-hmm. You know that, Adam. So we fly down there. I go to this credit area. Your father starts to play. And I go in there, and I see some guy there. I said, I told him my name, whatever I won, da, 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 and I'm here to pick up my check. "Hold on a minute." Everything's hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. They check here. They check there. They can't find the envelope. They can't find the file. And I'm standing there. I go, "What? You're talking a lot of money." Mm-hmm. So now there's somebody behind me. So the guy says, "Could you move over?" I said, "You want me to move over?"
Uh-oh.
"I'm not moving from this position. I'm here to pick up a check." And I said, "I want to talk to the supervisor." So now the Italian in me gets not crazy, but I was like, you know, they're playing games.
I'm going with
the
word crazy.
They finally find the folder. They give me the check. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to take the check and put it in my bag. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want Daddy to hold it. So I put it in the safe. I said, "I want you to put this in the safe." Mm-hmm. So I had to fill out papers or whatever. I said, "I want my husband's name on it." And Daddy happened to come into this area. So he signed it. And I said, "Joe, you keep the key." Mm-hmm. So now I'm still annoyed. So Joe says, "Look, don't worry about it. Let's go and enjoy. We're here. Don't worry." And I said, "You know, Joe, this is a scam. They want to do this because they want you to spend money. I'm not spending that check. There's no way." So I go play where I normally play. He goes play plays where he normally plays.
I'm not gambling with the check money. I'll gamble with the money I brought. Boy, did you show that.
That's right. And I hit them up. I hit them. I hit again.
You did.
She hit again. There, there you go, Adam.
How much and what were you playing?
I play this $5 machine. It's called Dragons. It's probably not there anymore. And if you get the three dragons the same color, you hit that jackpot. It's a progressive machine. So I hit it big. I did.
Yeah. What'd you hit for?
You really want to know?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
80.
You hit for 80 large.
80,000?
God bless the dragons.
Wow.
That is a good number to hit.
But let me tell you something. We won big, and then we lost big. So it all, at the end of the year, it all balances out. Because we used to get a win-loss sheet, and it would say how much you won and how much you lost. And how much you gambled. Oh, my God.
I will tell you this, Mike. It's one thing to see it on the paper. It's another thing when they send the plane for you. That's, you know.
Yeah.
No. We flew for nothing.
That's what I'm saying. They sent the plane for you.
We would drive to Republic and get on the plane. Yeah. And then we get off the plane. The limo picked us up.
Yeah.
We had a beautiful suite. Oh, God.
Yeah.
We didn't pay for meals, nothing. We only had to pay for tips.
All this means there's not a dime left for the inheritance. That's what all this means.
Adam, you'll be surprised.
All right, good. Shock me.
Shock me.
You know what, Adam? I'm not going to be here. So I'm not going to know if you're shocked or not.
Well, you're here now, Ma, and I love you. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Ma.
Yeah,
happy
Mother's
Day.
Thank you, Phil.
Well, Ma, in talking to Louie, he said it's important if you have the opportunity to be friends with your parents. So I hope you know that you're my mother and I love you, but I want you to know I consider you my friend, too.
You do? Sure, you want my inheritance.
No. Ma, I don't want your inheritance. That's what I get when you die as your son. As your friend, I want to borrow the money now.
Oh. Okay.
All right.
We can make a deal.
All right, good.
I'll give you low interest. I'll give you low interest, Adam.
Thank you, Ma. I love you, Ma.
I love you guys.
Love you.
I love you, Ma.
Love you.
I love you.
All right. Bye, Ma. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Can I just say, I love your mom. She's the best. I love her.
Yeah, I'm going to double down on that love, buddy.
Yeah, I love your mom. And I love the fact that she got her horns twisted and she took them for 80 grand.
Yeah.
I'm not spending this money, but I'm going to teach him a lesson. Okay.
Yeah, don't mess with her.
That's yeah, great. I like what she says at one point, you know, the Italian in me, as if we didn't see the Italian in her up to that point. You know what I mean?
Listen, if I was Dutch, none of this would happen.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I love my mom. I love Louie, too. And I took his advice to be a friend of your parents if you can. He's a very sweet man. And this is one of my favorite interviews. You guys give a listen to this, and we will see you on the other side.
The Mercedes-Benz C-Class doesn't just drive me forward. It propels me. I love how Mercedes-Benz gives me the power to choose. Color, wheels, and trim materials are just a few of the ways to customize the C-Class to fit my style.
I got a big, fat American ass. I don't fit. I don't fit an entry-level German.
You're listening to the Adam Ferrara Podcast. This is 30 Minutes You'll Never Get Back.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
I got some stand-up dates for you. May 6th through the 8th, I will be in Richmond, Virginia at the Sandman Comedy Club. Then June 4th, I'm going home to Strong Island, baby. The Brokerage Comedy Club in Belmore, Long Island. June 4th and June 5th, I will be back in Royersford, Pennsylvania at Soul Joel's. There's a link for tickets right here in the show notes, or you can go to my website and click the link there.
Pay attention when I'm talking to you, boy.
ADHD, it's not just for kids.
Nice boy, but doesn't listen to a word you say.
Welcome to the ADD interview. It's not that you're not interesting, it's just that I can't focus. And my guest this week is...
Oh, look, a bird!
My guest this week is a comedy legend. He's an actor, author, game show host, and makes me happy every time I see him. He's one of 11 kids. He channeled his mom to play the part of Christine Baskets on the FX series Baskets, and for that, they both won an Emmy. He raised the prize money on the Family Feud. He hit for 100 large in Vegas right before he had to film a commercial for 7-Eleven. And I am so grateful he has made time for us today. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's my pal, Louis Anderson. How are you, baby?
Hey, my pal. Hey, Adam. How are you?
Oh, good to see you. Thank you so much for doing this.
Please. I'm glad that you have a podcast. I love it. I love how it looks, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. It's all the wife, Lou. I had nothing to do with it.
She planned all this?
I said we have to do a podcast. I was renting studio space, and she goes, right, we should have something at the house. And I said, okay. I bought these microphones. She went, okay. And that was it. Next thing I know, this appeared. It's like when I go to sleep, there's like birds on the windowsill, and they all turn into wives helpers when I'm sleeping, and they build shit around the house.
I'm glad you're so happily married.
Yeah, I am. And I will tell you, okay, the first time I met you, I was single, and my wardrobe choices left a lot to be desired.
Yeah, mine too.
But so
I see pictures of myself and I go, what was I? I guess I just bought what I saw.
Yeah. Well, I did your show.
I mean, I think we both come from real practical places family-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Hey, it's a shirt. It fits. I'll take it.
Perfect. There it is. It doesn't itch. I'm fine. It's comfort and functionability. Yeah, I remember you had the NBC show, the stand-up show.
Oh, yeah. What was it?
Showcase? Comedy Showcase?
Yeah, something? Comedy Showcase at the Pier.
Mm-hmm.
Were you at the Pier or were you at the other place?
I don't think I was at the Pier. I was at the other place.
Because we were at the Pier, I think, second season. I think you might have been first season.
Yeah.
Actually.
It was the first season. And
we took all the really good guys first season, to be honest with you. You know, they give us a list. I go, no.
When you did the sweetest thing for me after my set, you were holding court with all the suits and the director and everybody there. And you went, Adam, and you summoned me over. So I'm all nervous. I walked over. He goes, man, you're funny. Wasn't he funny? And you introduced me to everybody, told everybody I was funny. He goes, you're very funny. I don't know about the khakis, but you're very funny.
You know, I think I think that's my greatest, as somebody said, what's the best thing I ever did?
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's I always tried to get someone a job.
Yeah. Yeah. You would even.
Because, you know, you just wanted a job at our what we're doing.
Yeah. You just wanted the ability to do it again. You know, you would.
Yeah.
And the way the work goes, it goes up, it goes down. And then, you know, you never know if it's coming again. And then when you're not looking, boom. You get.
Thank God we're stand-ups, though, because we're really like fireproof, really, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, we
don't have to have the industry their blessing for anything because they're not quite sure what stand-ups are. They don't really get it.
Yeah,
I guess HBO and Showtime maybe were the maybe Comedy Central, wherever the shows were, and they went, oh, we can make money on this.
Yeah, but the gatekeepers at the time, like. Rodney did that for you. I mean, Rodney.
Yeah, Rodney was very good to me.
Rodney was good. And Carson, your first, Lou, I'm telling you, you were there. Your first TV debut was the friggin' Tonight Show.
Yeah. Actually, you know, no one knows this, or some people know it, but you'll know it now. Mm. The first show I did was the last pilot for the last Mike Douglas show.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to bring his show back.
Right.
And we did the pilot. I didn't even own a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
I had to wear a sweater.
Okay.
I didn't even own a jacket. I had a gray sweater that kind of fit. And I think I wore a red shirt because I liked red.
Right.
Probably Rodney red, you know, that type of thing. And then I don't know who else was on it, but it was really fun to me. Well, Mike, you know, I used to watch when I was a kid. Growing up, I'd watch that afternoon show and go, oh, look, Marty Allen, if he could be on
business,
I could be on show. I could be in show business, maybe. That's a compliment to Marty, by the way. I loved Marty. So,
but you didn't get it till they offered you Letterman.
Yes, it was a cruel joke played on me. But, you know, it was kind of a lesson that's unbelievable, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had three goals. I wanted to get my name at the Comedy Store.
Good.
I wanted to get on the Tonight Show.
Good.
And I wanted to host my own talk show. I got to do all three of them. They weren't my talk show, but I subbed for Joan Rivers when her husband died. And so it was me and Arsenio. We took alternate weeks. And he glommed on. I said, after my first week, I can't possibly do this. This is way too boring.
Right.
I mean, it's a really big, boring part of, you know, doing talk. And you have to do so much work to make some people sound interesting, as you know, if you're doing this.
Yeah.
Like, do you ever get somebody on and they just, you probably don't book anyone who you don't think will work.
Nah, I sit in the meetings, they put up names, and they go, oh, I want to talk to, and then how about this?
Yeah.
If they give me the angle in, you know, then I can. Oh.
Biggest surprise for you when you did that. What's your biggest surprise?
The biggest
of a host of a guest where you go, wow.
That was my great. Biggest surprise. Nathan Lane knew who I was. That was
that's a fabulous thing.
That was my biggest surprise. I said, I don't know if we can get it. And we have a mutual friend, Andrea Martin. And she goes, email me.
Yeah.
And he emailed me right back.
I love Andrea Martin, by the way.
Oh, and she did it too. I mean, the biggest surprise, Lou, has been people wanting to do this. And you included. I was like, oh my God, this is my wife. She just handed me the note because she heard me in here working. She doesn't want to be on camera.
She's so sweet. What's her name?
Mrs. Ferrara. That's what we call it.
Mrs. F.
Mrs. F. No, it's Ferrara. Alex. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell her I said a big hello.
I certainly will. And you know what? That just opened the door because I have so many questions. You won an Emmy for Baskets.
Right.
You did one of the coolest things that I have ever heard of. When you wrote the book to your mom after she passed, you wrote letters to your mom about what she was missing, and you let other people read that. Did that come first, or did Baskets, or did the part of Christine?
Baskets. I get one day I got home from Baskets. You know, they were always 12-hour days. Jonathan Kreisel liked to shoot a lot of stuff, but which I really applaud him for, because, you know, you get the best stuff if you keep doing takes.
Mm-hmm.
And he really has the greatest feel of, like, let's just do that again. Not even like, let's try one more. It's not even like any criticism. Mm. No criticism ever, first of all.
Right.
And he would just, occasionally he would do this to me where he'd close his fingers.
Mm.
And that meant I was being too loud.
Right.
But he wouldn't say that. He would just go, maybe just a little.
Right.
Anyway, so I get home around, I'm an emotional person, so that was an emotional roller coaster. Every episode, you know, I was my mom there. I did not break character. I really stayed. I didn't let people call me Louie. I said, call me Mama Baskets or Christine. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be Louie. Louie isn't here right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's on hiatus. And I got home one night. I think I was I always stayed at like one of those, you know, corporate rentals.
Yeah, like the Oakwood.
Because I live in Vegas. So I go in for 3 or 4 months. And I got home one night and I said, I really miss my mom. Mm-hmm. And I wrote that very first letter that's in that book. Hey, Mom. And that became, that's how I sold the book. I just gave that letter to the publishers.
Mm-hmm.
But that letter was like, so like pouring out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I had so many questions for my mom.
Yeah.
I always tell people, you know, if your mom's still around, become friends with her.
Yeah.
It's hard to become friends with your parents, you know?
Well, it's hard to see them as people.
Right. No, I agree. Like, you don't really want to see some of it, but you really need to. It'll help you center yourself a little.
Yeah.
You know, Adam, you probably know this. A lot of people have lost their parents in this last 4 years.
Yeah.
And I always say, you know, you just got to go. You got to dig in there. What are you going to just let them go? Mm-hmm. Don't let them go. Put up a fight.
Yeah.
Remember when you wanted your way? Get in there and go, Mom, Dad, let's go over to the steakhouse. Remember the steakhouse we used to go because it was Tuesdays and it was $3.99 and we got a sirloin and it was run by these Greek guys who are terrific people. You get a sirloin steak and you get a little salad in that fake wooden bowl. Do you remember that fake wood?
Yes.
You remember this?
Yes.
And then you get a baked potato.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a Texas toast. And I only went for the Texas toast.
Sure.
Because I really wanted that. I love bread. I'm a food addict. So all those things. And I go to my dad, Dad, it's a dime to get another toast. Can I get it? And my dad would go, just take mine. I don't care for it. And he really did. He was such a generous guy in some ways.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, I say, let's go. It was $2.99. We get the steak. It was kind of a big deal. And my dad would always do a joke I never got at him.
What?
He would go, I go, how's your steak, Dad? I think I found a horseshoe in it. And I would never, I was such a Midwestern rube.
Right.
But I never got the joke. I go, why is there a horseshoe in the steak? I was trying to get the joke.
Yeah.
And he meant it was horse meat.
Sure.
That's what he meant. But. So I just say to people, don't give up on your parents too much. I wish I would have become better friends with my parents, but that doesn't really matter. I tried to share that the trouble I had, you know, in that area with my parents. But you know, I love my parents. I still represent them every day. I'm representing my parents, aren't you?
Yeah, they're alive on stage with me, Lou.
Yeah, you can't, like, where we come from, we both are actually very similar comics. We go to the same place. I want to say something. We're not just, you know, the joke's fine. I hope you like it. But God darn it, what about this?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I got home. I wrote that letter. I hadn't written my mom a letter since she died January 4th, 1990. And here we are, 20 some years later, I guess that is. Let's see. Probably we started Baskets, what, in? Oh, I'm terrible on dates. I have no idea. Probably 15.
Right.
In 2015. And I just all poured out and I go, this is a book. And then I worked with Andrew Postman. I'm a really good writer if I have a really good writer to work with.
Yeah.
Because I can write a joke or write a story or write an idea, but grammatically, I'm like, is the I before? Is this the right two?
Yeah.
T-O-O?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not that guy.
Oh, yeah.
And
at least you can
get
that.
A great job on it.
When I write, it looks like a kidnapper's note. It's just, it's terrible. I wanted to ask you this because when my dad passed away, I stole a bunch of the prayer cards because his name was in it.
Yeah.
And I bought notebooks because I write, you know, longhand. And I would start with Hi Pop and I would just write letters to my dad. I did the same thing you did, but I would take the prayer cards and I would tape them into the books.
Oh, I love that, Adam.
So, when I opened it up, I'm like, okay, there it is. And then if I needed advice or anything, I'm talking to him. It just put a structure in my head.
Can I just say this to you because I'm an idea person?
Mm-hmm.
That is the book you should write and you should use those prayer cards.
That's pretty cool. Hold on.
And that is great chapter stuff that right there. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to help you with that. I really, my dad book was honest to God journals. I did the Summerfest in Milwaukee and there were drunks outside, daytime show outside, drunks. In Excess was in the next thing outside while I'm doing jokes. Anyway, here's some butter jokes. But it was a great experience. And then I went home, sat down at the desk, and I had a journal, and I wrote my first letter to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that became my book. And I wrote longhand up till the last book. You know, it's the first time I didn't write longhand.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote it in my notes of my phone. Isn't that amazing?
That's great. I can't do it.
I just would say, Mom, Dad, Mom, everybody wants a selfie. Mm-hmm. Mom, everybody wants a this. Everybody wants to be a big shot. And I would just write it and then later finish the letter.
Yeah.
But the ideas, you know, just the jokes.
Just to get the idea. That's the most, to me, Lou, that's the most intimate part of the creative process is that first spark of inspiration. And then
I just ask you what your first thing is.
Go ahead.
The prayer card, what the first thing you wrote to him in the prayer card?
Hi, Pop. I know you can hear this. Nice. So stop messing around.
Oh, I love.
Yeah.
See, I think you could take a different humorous look at your dad, where my dad was all about, I just wanted him to love me. So mine had it was a rough book for me, but it was a great book to help people. It helped a lot of people.
Yeah, it helped people. And I saw an interview where you said it helped you. I'm remembering the quote, Lou, you said, it helped me and I love my dad.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I think you arrived, I don't know, but from what
true.
Yeah, arrived that at that place. And I wanted
to ask. We all need to arrive somewhere, and hopefully it's somewhere that helps heal us, right?
Yeah.
Because comics are all, you know, we're a little damaged, we're damaged freight, I always call it.
Yeah, but we get opportunities, Lou, that most civilians don't get because of our art form, where we're drawing.
So we take a big chance. We think, you and I both think, that people want to hear what we have to say.
Nah, just make me laugh.
And we wanted, we both thought we were, that's a big thing to just think, I'm going to go do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, a big thing. And you know, what's so funny is, I always tell comics that I meet, they go, do you have any advice? I go, enjoy the ride now.
Yeah.
The early stuff. I wish I would have enjoyed it a lot more.
Well, okay. To that end, you said you got the best part of your life at a great time in your life to enjoy.
And I did.
And I'm talking about Christine Baskets.
Oh, yeah. I said, don't give up on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I got my biggest, greatest part when I was 61.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even believe when I say 61, I was 61. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't think, comics don't, we don't really think we're very old.
No, because
we're so immature. That's what.
We get paid to stay in this, not stay in this place, but we get paid to examine this life and present it to other people for the benefit of all.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe too lofty, but it's just, when you got to play your mother, it was really emotional on you. I mean, just from the stuff I've read and the brief times I got to speak to you during that process, you said it's beating the shit out of me. You had to leave the set a couple times.
I cried every day. I would cry. Sometimes I'd say that I need a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't take too long because I wanted to keep what was going on there in that scene. But that just tore me up.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the middle of it, my baby brother died.
Mm.
And I use that in the bank scene, you know, where I'm in the bank and I'm talking about stuff with the bank and my mom died. And so I had to go to the bank and it was, just, you know, like I it's a blur when I did it, but I knew I scored because the cameraman and the director and everybody had tears in their eyes. So,
yeah. Well, but that's the thing, Lou, is we do this stuff, but unless it's reflected back to you, we don't know.
Yeah. We do it for results. I think we want the results.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're so funny. We want more results.
Yeah.
Are you sure you feel that way about it?
Mm.
You really like it?
Yeah, or we want the same result again to reinforce what we need to feel.
Over and over and over, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you this. When Baskets was finally over, you said something here. You said, I hope my mother gets to be this happy, and I hope she lets somebody make her this happy.
Yeah, I do. I hope that happened. I think it might have. It's so funny. After I wrote that, they sent me a picture of my mom as a young girl I'd never seen, like a teenager. And it's on my Instagram, and it's side by side with Christine. Christina's smiling and my mom is smiling. And I got that. Somebody sent me that in the family right after I said that in an interview. And so I said, oh, my mom was happy. There was a real happiness in her life at some point.
And how did and when you saw that picture, how did that affect you?
Well, I started crying, of course. I'm a big crybaby. And I like crying. I always say, like is Jimmy Valvano, isn't that his name?
Jimmy V.
You should be, you should think every day. You should be brought to tears every day. You should laugh every day. And you, there was one more I always forget. I got them mixed up maybe a little, but I always cry. I probably cry every day. I always get emotional, you know, because I'm completely connected. I'm so connected to my, to the emotions of what's going on.
Yeah. You know?
This is a crazy world right now, so it's easy for me to cry.
Yeah, no shit, baby. Well, when you played, and the reason I'm asking you so much about your mom is
because. Yeah, you do it. Do
I
it.
Had a similar experience.
I forgot it's your podcast.
I had a similar experience on Rescue Me because I wasn't playing my dad, but I was channeling my dad because I had to be, you know, my character was a young chief that was put in a position of authority way before he should have been because that was the reality of 9/11. So whenever I had to, when I had to, you know, take those monologues that Dennis put together, I'm channeling my dad because that's the authority figure I knew. And luckily, Dennis had the same dad, you know.
Yeah, Dennis is great.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you don't have to yell to get attention. You just have to have that disapproving look that you've seen your whole life. Put that on your face. Yeah, and that's the unspoken communication that opens the door to that. And what I realized in playing my dad was I didn't realize how scared he was.
Yeah, yeah. You don't realize that.
No.
Because you're scared.
Yeah.
You don't think he's scared.
Nope.
He's the end all. He says it, and you got to go by it.
Mm-hmm. So when you played your mom and you had that realization, your mom, you know, I had the realization how scared my dad was, and I never knew he was that scared. And he just wanted to protect everybody, you know. And when my character was in the firehouse, he just wanted to protect, you know, Tommy from fucking Tommy, you know, because he was running. So cut to this, Lou. He's getting older. He drops me to the airport, and there was a family fight about something.
What was his name?
Joe.
Joe. Okay.
Yeah. So there was a family fight about something because, you know, it was a Thursday. So So I go to we're yelling and screaming. My mother's yelling and screaming, kissing everybody goodbye. My father was standing on the street and I was standing up on the curb. And the first time in my life, Lou, I was taller than him. And that and I kissed him on the head and I was looking down at my dad and that wasn't lost on me. That I was seeing him as a human being because I was trying to portray him in this role and then having that physical juxtaposition in there.
Did he know that you were playing him?
He knew. I don't know if he knew.
Much as he could admit it or whatever. Yeah.
As much as he could, because I think he was just so focused on taking care of the family and doing stuff. And you know, we do stuff and your parents and the people you portray don't really, why do you tell these stories? My mother would say that.
Yeah.
She'd watch me on a Tonight Show and say, why do you tell these stories? No, they're true. No, they're not.
Yeah. You know what? I always say you don't become famous until your parents' friends think you're famous.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
You know, because that's when you, Shirley said, you're really terrific. Yeah, Ma, what? Yeah, I am good at this, Ma. Well, I just couldn't believe she thinks you're like one of the best. I go, yeah, I'm one of the best, Ma. But isn't that funny?
Yeah.
As to her, you know, you're doing maybe something from her culture, her era.
Right.
That's embarrassing and you shouldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
But when her friends tell you, then you become famous.
Now it's okay. Yeah.
All that. Yeah.
I had Ronnie Chang on from The Daily Show. We're talking about the same thing.
Really terrific. Yeah. He's terrific.
Isn't he true? He's like, you know, in Asian parents, they don't believe it unless there's third-party validation. I said, Ronnie, it ain't Asian parents.
All parents.
It's all parents, yeah. Can I ask you to tell the story, how you got the gig and coming to America?
Well, you know, now it's disputed because of what Eddie said on the second one, but I'll tell it.
Yeah.
So I was at, I was a big fan of the Ivy restaurant because on Robertson in Beverly Hills. And it was always, you're always going to see at least one star there.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie comes in. I was having the peppered shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hi, very sweet. Entourage come in with them. 10 people probably at the table or six or mm-hmm. something. So I says to the waiter, as a Minnesotan, as I am, a very Midwesterner, hey, after I leave, mm-hmm. I want you to put Eddie's bill on my American Express card. But I don't want you to tell him until I'm gone, if he asks. So, you know, that's a very Minnesota thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, I got a call from Eddie, his manager, and said, hey, I'm doing a movie, and I want a little part in there for you. Right. And I said, oh, great. He said, nobody's ever picked up my check before. That's what he said. Uh-huh. That my recollection.
Yeah.
So next thing you know, I'm in New York talking with John Landis across the table at the restaurant in the hotel that I, he goes, I like to have dinner with everybody. You know, I go, oh, well, hi, John. And so I did it. I worked on it a couple days, I think, mm-hmm. maybe a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that movie came out, I go, oh my God. And I got a big laugh in the movie when it came out.
Huge.
And I went, oh my God. And then people started calling me the fry guy.
Right.
And then now Eddie and Arsenio just told this story. Have you heard this one?
No, go ahead.
So he said, we made making the movie and it's an all black cast.
Mm-hmm.
And Paramount said, you got to put a white guy in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, what? Yeah, you got to have one white person in the movie at least. And they said, okay, well, and then they were talking, they go, well, they gave him a list and they go, oh, well, Louis Anderson, he's the funniest white guy we know.
Mm.
It was very sweet of them to say that. And they never told me this till this Coming to America came out.
Right.
The second one. I never knew any of this. He'd never mentioned this before. So I don't know if I, my getting a, regardless of it, it was the biggest in thing, and I got to be in the second one. It was another great experience working with John Amos and Arsenio and Lisa and all those. You know, Eddie is just the same as he was back then. We started talking about stand-up.
Yeah.
You know, starts. I said, you know, you could, you know, I heard you're going back on the road. You could open for me if you want. And he got a big kick out of that. Yeah. He's got a great sense of humor, as you know.
Can I ask you to tell the story? When you owed 80 large at the bicycle club?
Yeah. So I'm playing, I used to play Pai Gao. You know that game?
I had a lot of yelling.
A Pai Gao, I think, is nine. It means about nine.
Mm-hmm.
I had lost $80,000.
Wow. That's a lot of Pai Gao.
Yeah. But it was, you know, I was like, oh, well. But not really, oh, well. The next day, I'm doing a commercial for 7-Eleven.
Right.
I was like, I think it's around 11 or so.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost that money and I'm furious, of course.
Sure.
I have no cash. I'm going to get that. I want to win that money back. I go, I got a $10,000 line in Vegas, a credit line.
Right.
I can't get a flight, so I rent a car. Such a degenerate gambler.
Say, you're such a gambler.
It's so good, though, wasn't it? Isn't it good?
You're doing the math in your head like, 4 hours, I can make it.
Yeah. And I have a 7 a.m.
call time.
Call time for the 7-Eleven thing. So I just had a feeling, you know, that's what gambling is.
Mm-hmm.
I drive there, go to Bally's, go to the high limits. I go, give me $2,000 on my $10,000
mm-hmm.
line, and I start winning. I have $4,000. I got $10,000. I got $20,000. I got $30,000. Then I go back to $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get $50,000. I go back to $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got $60,000. I go back to, you know, $50,000.
Right.
And then I get to $80,000, and I go, why don't you just quit at $80,000?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? I'm not quitting at $80,000. I'm gonna win $100,000. I don't give a shit.
Okay.
I'm gonna win $100,000.
So you're rational.
So I'm like 100,000 close. I keep getting to 90, then 70, then 90, then 80, then 90. Then I get to 100. And I go, oh, I should quit right now. But I got to tip the dealer. And I don't want him to. I want to take out of here with 100,000.
I need scale plus 10.
That's yes. And that's really what I thought. So I get it to 110. And I go, do you want the 10 grand?
Right.
Or do you want to bet it?
They have to bet it if you ask them, right?
And I didn't know that really.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I was a seasoned gambler, but I didn't put it together. And they said, yeah, I'll bet it. And I knew there was a wince there now that I think about it. Mm-hmm. You know what? That's $10,000. That's a lot for those.
Yeah.
You know, 1901.
Yeah.
And that's how it felt. I don't know. Anyways. So we bet it and he won.
He hit
and
for I 20 didn't,
I didn't. I bet the very minimum, whatever I could bet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't going to risk my 100.
Right.
So I had to, whatever I could do. And he won the 20,000. And I go, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I bet 2,000 or 1,000 and got two. I said, here's my 2,000.
Right.
For my marker.
For the marker, yeah.
Right. And then I said, I want to cash out. And they wouldn't, they did not want me to leave.
They do the dance.
I go, I'm going to miss my flight. They go, well, we're working really hard. I go, you got it. I can see 80,000. I can see 100,000 right in there. So they give me 100,000. I got to go in the gift shop and buy a canvas bag.
Because
I'm taking it in cash.
You're getting on a plane with 100 grand in cash.
With 100 grand in cash. Because I got to go pay that 80,000.
Yeah.
I knew I needed that 80,000. I had to pay it.
Right.
And that guy was not a guy you could owe that money to.
Allegedly.
We don't No. Yeah. Who knows? But I come from a family that would not know that. So
problem is I come from a family that does.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
So I finally get on.
I got 100 grand in the bag. In them days, they weren't x-raying your stuff.
Right.
They were x-raying it.
Right.
But there wasn't the same type of thing.
Sure.
They got the bag. I think they looked at it and went, wow. And I go, it's all spoken for. And they go, what? Never mind. And I get in there. Now I pull up. My call time's at 7.
Right.
So I get there at like 7:01 for some, I don't know how I got there. I know it was close. And I got this $100,000. Now, where am I going to leave it?
Yeah.
So I said, what's your name? To whoever it was.
Right.
I go, you're my person now. You're going to sit. I don't want anyone to go in there. I don't care what they say they have to go in there for.
Right.
And I was a little scared. And I went in. I shot the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. I was exhausted.
Sure.
But I shot up. I was on adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and afterwards, I went to the, talked to the guy, went and paid the money.
Wow. So wait a minute. The guy's face when you showed up with the 80 you owed him from the night before, did he think he was ever going to see you again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I think I did have?
What?
I think I had $80,000 in uncut stones that somebody else had lent or owed me money or something. I don't know what that is, but you know what?
I think it's grand larceny.
I had somehow somebody trusted me for $80,000.
Right.
And it was one of the best lessons I ever learned. It was so much fun, honest, Adam, having 100,000.
Oh God!
In $100 bills, it was so much fun. So.
Oh God, is that a great story, Lou?
I think it's only a great story as somebody who's gambled.
Hello.
Yeah.
It's like when you ask.
You know, I make $5 bets now. It's a funny thing in life, isn't it?
Yeah.
You get older, you go, how much are you going to bet on it? I just put a fiver on it.
Yeah.
$500? No, $5.
That's it. A nickel crap table?
You can't thrill me more than I've been thrilled.
Yeah. But a nickel crap table? It's manageable. I'm happy. You know,
it's so fun playing craps. Should I tell you my crap story?
Please do.
I'm at the Binion's. I think I was down 20,000.
Okay.
It's like 2 or 3 in the morning. I finally get the 20,200 back.
Okay.
Tip the dealer. I had 200 left over after I paid everything off, right? Mm. I go, I got 200. And, you know, that's the worst thing for a gambler to have $200.
Yeah.
So I'm walking out, and I don't play craps. Really, it's not my game. I don't quite get it, no matter how many times people explain it to me. And they go, Louie, will you play?
Mm.
I go, no. I'm not a craps. Come on, Louie. We haven't had any business all night. I go, all right. You know, I'm a sucker for that.
Sure.
I go, what's got the highest odds on it?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, boxcars. 30-1, right?
Yep.
Is it 30-1?
Mm-hmm.
I go, put the 100 on it. And I roll it, boxcars.
You hit it.
Yeah. And I got that 100. I got the 3,000. I put it in my pocket. I had 100 left because they give you your 100 back. You sure. Get 3,100.
Mm-hmm.
I said, here. This is for you guys. And they were thrilled.
Yeah.
I go, what I would do if I were you guys is I would put it on the 12 because I think it's going to hit again, but I'm leaving.
Right.
And they said, no, we'll just keep it. They kept it. The guy rolled again and he rolled 12. He rolled 12.
Ah.
They would have won 3,000. I felt bad. They would have won $3,000.
You led them to water. They chose not to drink.
Yeah. So anyways, those are my gambling things. I got a million stories like that. I should write a book.
Yes, you
I want
should.
To write a book called Double or Nothing.
That's good. Are you writing that?
And I just said, I'm not going to write another book, except I am going to write one book on stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
It's my journey in right. Stand-up.
What'd you learn you didn't expect to learn from this ride, Lou?
That there would be so many ebb and flows in it.
Mm.
Luckily, I'm not a guy who gives up.
Good.
And I learned that all the relationships you have in my life, you know, I was always nice to people because my mom taught me that.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but at a certain age, I kind of shaped up, as my dad or my brother would say. You finally shaped up, and you say, I'll kill you. because that's what you say to your brothers. But, I'll kill you. I don't care. You don't say it out loud because that'd be a death sentence to yourself. But inside you go, I'll kill you. And all those relationships still pay off dividends mm-hmm. for me. Like some of you, I'll get a job at a casino and I go, you know, I was the assistant at, you know, Tunica, the casino, mm-hmm. you were nice to me. You're the only entertainer who was ever nice to me. And so when I got this job, I knew that you were going to be my first act I booked.
Ah.
And that is the kind of stuff that I just live for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing is nobody will help you. That was my big surprise. People won't help you.
Yeah.
People who you've helped become something, they won't help you either.
Really?
People, no. Well, how many jobs have you gotten from people you helped?
Mm.
Really think about it. Do
Here's
you have any jobs?
I didn't help people in a position of power. That's my problem. It's not that I didn't. They underachieved, Lou. I helped them. And they never got to the point where they could help me, these sons of
right,
bitches.
Right, got you. Well,
I'll tell you what. You helped me. You helped
what?
Me. I'll tell you exactly. I know how you helped me. I'll tell you exactly how you helped me. We were at the Comedy Magic Club. I wrote a joke that afternoon. I did it on stage. I still remember the joke too.
What is it? Can you tell it?
Yeah, they put me on antidepressants. That's nice. Your mouth dries up. You start shaking. This is much better. Oh, I can't wait for the anal leakage. This is what I'm looking for: a wet ass and a positive attitude. That's what I want in my life. I did it. I was apprehensive about anal leakage because everybody was doing it when the side effects came out. And you went, no, you do that joke, a wet ass and a positive attitude. That's the punchline. And you keep doing that joke. So you gave me permission to do that joke. And it's on like my third special, I think.
You know, jokes are a wonderful thing. They're our best friends, really, in a lot of ways.
They're our composites of our truth.
Wow. Jesus. Ask your wife to please put a Alex, right?
Yes.
Is that what you said her name was?
Yes.
To please put that plaque up right next to wet ass and the positive attitude. No, what'd you say? Positive. I don't know what the fuck you said, but I know that you said something like that.
I love you, Lou. Thank you so much
for
taking the time, my friend.
Oh, anytime. Well, let's we got to go do a show together.
Please, let's do it.
Let's find a time to do a show together.
I will come to Vegas. I will pick you up, and I expect
that'd be fun.
We'll go have some.
I'm going to, you know, like I'm working on another special.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you, and I just wish nothing but greatness for you.
And to you, my friend. Best to you and the family. Right. I love you. Let's laugh soon, all right?
All right. I love you, man.
Love you.
Take care.
The Adam Ferrara Podcast is brought to you by CruiseIntoWellness.com. CruiseIntoWellness.com for all your CBD needs. They have edibles, pain creams, tinctures, bath products, pet products, and it's all grown from hemp right here in the USA. It's 100% natural. It's 100% vegan. And it's 100% kosher. Shalom. Why should you be in pain? Go to cruiseintowellness.com. Use the coupon code Adam and save not 10, but 20%. 20% off with the coupon code Adam at anything they have at cruiseintowellness.com. Oh, you're welcome. Go. Feel better.
I'm Louis Anderson, and that was 30 minutes. I'll never get back. What was the host's name? Is it Adam? Ferrazzi? Ferrazio? Looks Italian, but you never know these days.
I love Louis Anderson.
Me too. I want to go on a road trip with him.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
And Louis loves your penmanship.
Well, I could not help myself.
Mm.
If that was one of the interviews I could sit in on, I would.
Mm.
Yeah, and you got to get busy on that plaque, Alex.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Busy on the plaque.
I guess. There's
a
lot of
wet ass and a positive attitude, and jokes are composites of your truth.
My God. You said true. Adam always comes up with deep, like we'll have a conversation and he'll come up with something deep like that. And I'm like, okay, put that in layman's terms, please. That's
what's
deep.
That? Layman's terms.
What's deep
thing?
About wet ass?
For Phil, a rain puddle.
I'm like, I was trying to think while Phil's talking, what's deep about wet ass?
That's true.
Okay, I'm going nowhere near wet ass. I'm talking. Jokes are composites of truth. Okay, hey Churchill. Holy shit.
Yes, that's what he said. We'll fight them on the beaches. We'll fight them on the landing fields. Jokes are composites of your truth. We will never surrender.
We'll never surrender to the Nazis.
Except for if you have a wet ass.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you come up with these great quotes. That's all I'm saying. That's a compliment. It's a compliment. Yeah, why am I yelling?
Exactly. Why didn't I take it as a compliment? Look, you son of a bitch.
That's kind of how it sounded.
I know. Yeah. He yells at you. It's a compliment. Listen, you deep thinking cocksucker.
That was really smart. He paused. You make your guests pause sometimes when you say stuff. They're like, wow. He went, wow. Mm.
You're very great. Perplexing.
I know.
I tell you, I loved what he said. Listen, I loved everything about hearing you and Louis talk.
Mm.
But what really struck me was the idea of becoming friends with your parents. Just the way he said that, the strength of that statement is so true and resonated all the way through me. It's just a great way to think and live your life. You know?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to call my mom. Yeah, honey.
Well, you got to find that line. Like, when do you make that jump? You know, because your parents are your parents.
I think you make that jump when you realize when they're financially secure. Because I don't want. Hey, pal, can you lend me some money? I'm not dealing with that. Yeah, Phil.
Yeah, I love the fact that one of the things that resonated with me that he said was that he was always looking for his father's love. And, you know, that's something that I had with my dad because, you know, my dad was like your dad, blue collar guy, you know, showed his love by working and, you know, providing for his family. And, you know, I'd say, I love you, Dad. And all I would get back is same here. He'd never say, I love you. Just same here. Like we were ordering a steak. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, you know, the last 4 months of his life, I went and lived with him and spent time with him. And I got to know him better in those 4 months than I ever did in my entire relationship with him.
Mm.
And I finally got him to say, I love you. And it was the day before he died. And that's how I knew he was like towards the end when he actually said the words. you know? So I really love that about Louis.
Phil, I'm so glad you had that time with your father. There's beauty in that statement. And there's also, all right, look, I'm not going to make it any longer. I love you. I got to get out of here.
All right. I said it.
Yeah. I've had enough, son of a bitch. Is that the light? All right, 1 minute. I love you. All right, let's go. What a pain in the ass this kid's been.
Adam, I had no idea the way he got the part for Coming to America was picking up Eddie Murphy's check. How cool is that?
Yeah.
That's great.
The universe gave him a love of peppered shrimp. And the instinct to be generous.
Yes.
Well, the Ivy does have a great chopped salad.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that he remembers what he ate. That just killed me.
Yeah.
Like, that had to go in the story. You know what I mean?
But, well, he said he didn't know he was going to get the job.
No.
I mean, he was just, he said, I'm from Minnesota, so we're just like that. I'm like, think to myself, no, you're just generous.
Yeah.
You're just a generous guy. You liked this guy and you're like, hey, I'm going to pick up his check.
Yeah. Italians do that too. Like I would do that. Me and Mark fight over the check all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Mark and I fight over. And Phil always goes, no, it's your turn. So that's the difference.
No, but that's true. You and I, we what's the word? Sorry about that.
We eat. That's the word.
We switch off. I'm thinking of the word for switch off. We rotate.
Yeah.
I think there's an art of picking up a check because you don't want the other person to, feel weird about it. But you want to pick up the check for them.
Yeah.
So you have it down, Adam.
Yeah.
I've seen you. You're like super spy. Like, I don't even see how you do it. And all of a sudden it's done.
Yeah.
It's like crazy. What?
Here's what we do. You get up. Right.
Yeah.
Then you come back. I find the server. I said, listen, I don't want to fight with everybody. Let's do this now. You take this. You give them a nice tip. You sign it. You're a little conspiratorial about them.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I have a joke with the server like, listen, I don't want to. Don't look over there. And they what? And they laugh and it makes us happy. So that's it. And you do it. And then inevitably you end up fighting because you're like, I can't believe you did that. Don't do that.
I like that. I think it's very classy.
Yeah.
You know, I like when people do that. It's a good gesture.
Good. Tell
Phil.
Yeah, but you know what, dude? Sometimes you go the other way, too. Remember my birthday in Atlantic City? It was you, a bunch of my friends, my cousins, big table. You guys are buying me dinner at the Italian restaurant. I get up to take a leak. I come back. You guys are gone, and you skip me with the check.
Yeah.
Where was getting up going to the waiter then, Adam? Where was going up going to the waiter that night?
No, you got up and went to the bathroom. That's why I said, get in the car.
Yeah, I know it was you. It was you. It was you.
That's why I say it's an art.
I forgot about that.
Oh, I didn't.
That's hilarious.
You owe me $1,600, pal.
$1,600.
I forgot.
Yeah, you know how much wine we had at that table?
Oh,
yeah,
my
we were
goodness.
Drinking then. Yeah.
Oh my God.
That was when. That was when
I came out of the bathroom. The table, Mark, is empty. I'm like, where the and the waiter specifically comes over to me. Here's the check. I'm like, what? It's my birthday. It's my birthday.
Your friends have left, sir. This is due.
Yeah, they left. Oh. Here was the beauty part, though. So I pay the bill. I paid the bill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I walk out of the place, and they're all in the back of my cousin's pickup truck. All of them just laughing and howling at me.
Yeah.
It was great.
Louis did give you some good advice.
What's that?
On making a book out of what you did when Pop died.
Yeah, I got to go back and read it. I remember the first thing I would put the prayer cards in the book. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I just did it. I took a stack of them because his name, my dad died. I took everything. I have all his drawings. I framed them for my mother. I gave my wedding ring it was the ring my mother gave my father.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
when they got engaged, I took the ring. You know, and if my mother would have given me an engagement ring for you, I would have saved a fortune. You friggin' killed me.
You're welcome. You know, Louis is so much fun.
Yes.
He's the kind of person who's a little crazy, but more fun than crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean crazy in a good way.
Like he's phasey.
Yeah, he's phasey.
Okay.
Definitely phasey.
Okay.
Like I could just picture like him at, one of the gambling tables and mm-hmm. I'm sitting next to him. He's going all in and it's like a movie. He's one of those people that really... time slows down because he's doing such crazy fun things and you can't really believe he's doing it, but then you're like cheering him on and he inspires you and it's just
first of all, I know exactly what you mean.
You know exactly what I mean,
here's what I think,
and I want to go right now.
I know you do want to go right now, but here's what I was thinking. if you're on that trip, I'm going to put you in a scenario. You're at the bicycle club. He's down 80 Lodge. He's going, we can make Vegas, and you're going to go along with that, or you're going to be in the car like this. Louis, maybe we should consider the choices. You're down, you're down $80,000, and you have a commercial in the morning. Maybe you want to rest for your job? I don't picture you going, you can take these bastards, Lou, faster. Faster. Double up your bets. I thought you were serious.
Listen, Adam, that's what's so exciting about being around people like Louis. Sometimes you get caught up in the moment. You don't even know where you're going to end up.
Yeah.
So it's a little scary for me because I kind of would like push caution. What is that saying?
Caution to the wind.
Yeah. Push caution to the wind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I still don't understand. Did he have 80,000 in uncut gems? Did someone owe him 80,000? Did he use his collateral?
Yeah, well, I was a little confused about that too. Like, if he had the 80 grand in these gemstones, why wouldn't he have just used those? Like, like, why did he need to go win the 80 grand back?
I was confused because I was like, Lou, do you still have them? Did you? I wanted to find them for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he must have crushed it because he lives in Vegas.
Yeah. Or he, legally he can't leave. Who knows?
That's probably more what it is.
I never did see his ankles. There might be a bracelet on it. I don't know. Yeah. I'm giving Louis the benefit of the doubt. I love the guy, and he's never called me up and said, Adam, I need an alibi.
We'd love Louis. Maybe you'd give him one.
Oh, of course I'd give him. In fact, you guys are all in on it. If anybody asks, you heard Louis on the show today, okay?
That's right.
Absolutely.
I want to thank my pal Louis for being a guest on our show today, our special Mother's Day show. We want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. Honey, if they want to get all of us, where do they go?
TheAdamFerrara@gmail.com.
And the show is growing, and we have you to thank. If you get a minute to leave us a review, it helps us with our friend,
Mr. Algorithm.
And remember, life is hard. Take it easy on yourself. The pod has ended. Go in peace. Well, yeah. Ma, I was in talking to Louis, he said it's important if you have the opportunity to be friends with your parents. So I hope you know that you're my mother and I love you, but I want you to know I consider you my friend, too.
You do? Sure, do. You want my inheritance.
No.
Good girl, Louise. Don't let him bullshit you.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.